May I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The parable of the wedding feast may not be the most popular parable because perhaps it doesn't say what we want it to. We want to hear a nice story about God throwing the party open to everyone, to be inclusive and let everyone in. We don't want to know about judgment on the wicked, or about demanding standards of holiness, or about weeping or gnashing of teeth. But God wants us to be grown up, not babies. Part of being grown up is that we learn that actions have consequences, that moral choices matter, and that real human life isn't like a board game where even if we do badly, the pieces get put back in the box at the end of the day and we can start again tomorrow. The great and deep mystery of God's forgiveness isn't the same as saying that whatever we do isn't important because it'll all work out somehow. This is not the lesson we necessarily want to learn. But this is what this parable says. There is good news, however, though it wasn't good news for those who were originally invited, who, of course, were Israel. God was sending out a new invitation, but not to those who might have expected to attend, but didn't bother to RSVP. Rather, God was now telling everyone and anyone to come to the party, and they did. The tax collector, the prostitutes, the marginalized, the nobodies, the blind, the lame, the people who thought they had been forgotten, people who were overjoyed to be invited, eager to share in a great celebration, those who were thrilled that God's message were for them after all. But there was a difference between this wide open invitation and the message so many want to hear today. We want to hear that everyone is all right exactly as they are, that God loves us as we are and doesn't want us to change. People often say this when they want to justify particular types of behavior. But the argument doesn't work. When the blind and lame came to Jesus, he didn't say, "You are all right as you are." He healed them. They would not have been satisfied with anything less. When the prostitutes and the tax collectors came to Jesus, he didn't say, "You are all right as you are." His love reached them where they were, but his love refused to let them stay as they were. Love was the best for the beloved. Their lives were transformed, healed, and changed. God may well love the child molester or the serial killer or the arrogant and ruthless businessman, but the point of God's love is that he wants them to change. He hates what they are doing and the effect it has on everyone around them. Ultimately, he is a good God, and he cannot allow that sort of behavior and that sort of person, if they don't change, to remain forever in the party he is throwing for his son. From the gospel this morning, "But when the king came to look at the guest, he saw there a man who wasn't wearing a wedding suit. 'My friend,' he said to him, 'how did you get in here without a wedding suit?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, 'Tie him up, hands and feet, and throw him into the darkness outside, where people weep and grind their teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen.'" If you do not wear a wedding suit at a wedding in first century Palestine, it means that you are not really engaging the celebration. If you're standing around in everyday clothes, it means you are at the party for reasons of your own that may not have anything to do with the wedding. Wedding is a symbol of participation and agreement with the service. If you are there for free champagne, or maybe you just snuck in for the party, there are all sorts of wrong reasons for coming to a wedding. Maybe you just want to get, or to come to church. Maybe you just want to get your child in school, or maybe you want to make business connections. Educating your child or making a living are not the worst things, but God demands much more. God wants you to engage and be transformed by His love. We are all, to some extent, standing on the sidelines, but we should be in the middle of the dance floor, thanking God and celebrating what Jesus has done for us. When we engage God with our heart and soul, we will be transformed. We will be more than we think we can be. God has a magnificent plan for each of us. He will not let us settle for less than the very best. Let's look a little more closely at the symbol of the uninvited wedding guest who has chosen not to wear the wedding suit. What happens when the uninvited guest changes his clothes and seeks to disguise his presence by dressing to conform? In other words, the wedding guest becomes a wolf in sheep's clothing. He dresses to deliberately deceive. Clothing becomes not a symbol of participation and agreement, but a place to hide. The clothing chosen doesn't change the wolf into something else, but protects and allows the continuation of evil deception. What if when the wolf is discovered, he is not asked to leave, but protected and accommodated, further injuring the wolf, the sheep? What if the uninvited wedding guest and the wolf in sheep's clothing are the same or similar? And what if they are wearing clerical robes and even performing the wedding ceremony? The beast is among us and has been, according to the independent inquiry into child sexual abuse in the Church of England since the 1940s. This is all, for us, deeply shameful. But it is a great deal more shameful for those who saw it happening. And failed to act to stop it. We cannot say that God made us the way we are and loves us the way we are when we act in direct conflict with God's own underlying moral purpose to provide and care for the innocent and the vulnerable. Where was the wider discernment? Do we not recognize that evil is real and has active intent, that it has the power to corrupt with complacency and self-deception? Well, should we not be on our guard and listen to the warnings of Scripture? Jesus' parable of the wedding feast was a call for celebration, but it was also a warning. We need discernment when we engage the world. G.K. Chesterton, after an early life of pondering the human condition, came to realize that Christianity was true. And he said this: "I found this hole in the world. This hole was the fact that one must somehow find a way of loving the world without trusting it. Somehow one must love the world without being worldly. I found this projecting feature of Christian theology like a sort of hard spike, the dogmatic insistence that God was personal and had made a world separate from himself. The spike of dogma fitted exactly into the hole in the world. We all have a hole within us that only God can fulfill. When we seek and strive to fill that hole with anything other than God's love, we run the risk of encountering evil, which can include the abuse of our own children by the very people who are supposed to protect them. But let us remember Paul's words of love and tolerance from Philippians, words that free Christian behavior to seek what is honorable, what is just and pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable and excellent, what is worthy of praise. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, said Paul. And the God of peace will be with you. It is Paul himself who models the dramatic transformation that God seeks in each of us. Paul, in his encouraging advice, is not overly prescriptive. He, in telling the followers of Christ what they should do, there is freedom for the followers of Christ to apply their own gifts in their own places and in their own times. This is a remarkable and empowering freedom. But within this real freedom, there is the possibility of error. For those who seek to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit will give you the courage and discernment will in all certainty accompany you on your journey. The place within each of us where God must reside is in our hearts, a place unique like no other. God is personal and seeks a personal relationship with each of us. He brings to each of us who are sincere in heart and soul, power, holiness, and love. But in our fallen world, we must be prepared for the moral fall of any person, in any person, at any moment. This is why we need Christ.